Ask Me How I Know show. I'm your host, Julie Holly, and I'm so excited you're here. Ask Me How I Know is the only podcast in the multifamily niche replicating what takes place outside the walls of a seminar. Remember when we used to get together like that? This is like the lobby where honest, unscripted conversations take place and transformation happens. We'll talk about practical problem solving in the multifamily niche, as well as overcoming mental roadblocks. This episode is brought to you by 3Keys Investments. 3Keys Investments is dedicated to helping people like you, yeah, you, enter the multifamily investment space to build passive income and legacy wealth. If you haven't already subscribed and reviewed Ask Me How I Know, I'd be honored if you did. Thanks so much for joining me today, and now for our featured guest. Hey guys, welcome back to Ask Me How I Know. I am so glad that you are here and joining us once again. I have a fantastic guest today, somebody who has closed a multifamily deal during COVID, no less. Matt, I feel like everyone should give you a standing ovation.
Oh,
welcome
thank
to Ask Me How I Know.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
happy to be here.
I'm super stoked to have you on the show. I am totally inspired by several people who have been able to wrestle down deals during this pandemic and not to be curved and dissuaded by it. So I would love to hear about how you pulled this off.
Yeah, so my team and I had actually sourced this deal. One of the people that's in my team had sourced this just prior to the pandemic. And then we kind of went through all of this process of the pandemic started being a thing. And then, you know, we had to kind of work through it. And we had, you know, I feel like you have to be flexible because we found some things along the way that we just had to make some changes. And I think that deals are totally doable right now. You just have to be flexible and you have to be willing to do what it takes to make the deal get done.
So flexible. What kind of flexibility should people have right now if they want to go tackle a deal?
So you have to think about things such as, you know, how you're going to do your due diligence, especially if you're in an area where people are still kind of locked down. A lot of people are not real happy with you going through their units. Contractors are very busy right now because a lot of people are doing work at their house. They've been locked up for a while and they're like, hey, I'm going to get somebody to do this deck that I've waited on forever. So you have to maybe price in a little bit more than you normally would on some of your repairs too, because these guys are so slammed that they know they can get premium prices. So you kind of have to figure that in a little bit. And then you just have to be very flexible with the idea of what's going to happen. And so I think if your numbers are conservative enough, truly conservative, then that gives you the flexibility to say, okay, I may have to, you know, not make as much of a profit for a short period of time because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if the government's going to say you can't evict anybody for a while if they don't pay. So those are the kind of things that you kind of have to plan that in there and bake that in there when you get started on one of these deals.
That's really an interesting point because I know that we've been looking through rent rolls meticulously and looking at, you know, where are these residents' places of employment and how is that going to, I mean, when you're acquiring a property, you have to be looking at everything. Did you guys go down to the nitty gritty of that? I mean, a lot of times what was your play on the property? I guess that would be a good starting question.
Oh yeah.
Are you trying to fully reposition it or?
We were, it's a value add. So they were under market. It was the typical deal that everybody's looking, that just about everybody's looking
you
for.
You found the unicorn?
Yeah, the unicorn. I found the unicorn. It was the retiring couple that had had this place forever and they wanted to, you know, get rid of it so they could, you know, go right off into the sunset kind of deal. It was, you know, not managed great. And, you know, all of the units pretty much were under market, save for a few handful that they had just rented close to market, I guess, to prove the concept that it could be done. So I feel like that the real play for us was a value add. That was from the very beginning. And so, you know, that's kind of just what we went with was get it bring it up to market. You know, the thing that we all look for, basically. I don't know a better way to say that.
Right. Like it was, and you guys were looking at it pre-COVID, pre-pandemic,
yes,
pre-everything.
Yes.
So were you banking on, when you guys first underwrote it, were you banking on being able to raise the rents?
We were, from the very beginning, and not as much raise the current rents, but more so maybe slowly raise some of the ones most of the people in our units were already not in contract. They were out of their lease. So it was a matter of getting them to release at maybe slightly higher rates. And then I know we have a few people leave through attrition, and as they leave, renovate those units and bring them up to market. And then hopefully the goal was originally to take some of the people that are in the other units, and once we fix them up, kind of showcase them and say, hey, look, here we have these nicer units. If you want to move over to one of these, then you get somebody to move out of one, you renovate theirs and rinse and repeat. So that was kind of the goal from the beginning, was to do that. And then that's where the flexibility comes in, because of COVID, a lot of people, there's just a lot more situations and a lot more nuance that you kind of have to prepare yourself for. But we re-underwrote after when COVID started and planned on higher vacancy for our break even. And then we actually renegotiated our price and got a little bit of a discount because of it. And it's worked out well.
Nice. So how was that renegotiation process? Because some people, I've heard some different stories on how that's gone down recently. Where did they have any clue as to how bad this could be? And
so when we renegotiated, it was at the beginning of, in March. So it was closer to the beginning of this. And it was an older couple, and they were kind of like, oh, it's, they're out there elbow bumping us, not shaking hands. But then when we say something about renegotiation, they're just like, oh, I think this is just all a hoax and all this stuff. So I'm like, no, it's not a hoax. There's people, there's things that are going to happen, and we have to account for that. And we have to be, careful with how we're buying the property, because we could lose money. And then all your residents here that you care about, we won't be able to keep up the standard that you would want for them, and we won't be able to keep this place, up in general. So we need a little bit of a discount for uncertainty. And if you were on our shoes, you would want the same thing. So we just had to come to them with a lot of factual stuff. Here's what the Treasury is saying. Here's what these people are saying about how many people are going to lose their jobs and blah, blah, blah. And just basically say, matter of fact, if we leave, if we walk, there may not be somebody else that comes in that's going to pay what we pay. And you have no guarantee of that. And then you have to start this process over. And do you really want to do that?
That's interesting. I remember being in, single family realtor Julie days and during the Great Recession. And I remember literally having that conversation with my seller saying, hey, the writing's on the wall. I mean, having been raised in it in real estate and, watching the cycles, I'm like, the writing's on the wall. If you don't take this, exactly that situation, and this could be granted, and it did save that person almost six figures by taking the offer. I mean, you're leaving money on the table if you're not selling at the right time. What advice would you have to sellers right now at this stage? Now we're in, a lot of states are reopening. We've got a lot of different plans going on. We're deep into the pandemic.
Are you saying for buyers?
For their mentality.
For sellers, I'd say make the price so that I can buy all your property.
Well, and Matt will be partnering up on that, okay? No, but would you have any advice for sellers?
Be realistic. Although I say that, and it's hard to tell them to come down to earth and be realistic, because people are willing still to overpay right now. And it makes it very difficult for me to tell people, hey, be realistic. I mean, what are they going to do? Cut their prices when people are willing to pay them? I don't blame them. I wouldn't either. But it depends on what your property is. If you have, a C-minus property, you're probably going to have to be a lot more realistic, because people are going to start being more cautious, especially depending on what way the wind blows on the news with what the government's going to do that day.
Oh, goodness. Well, speaking to sellers, now let's speak to buyers a little bit. What would any advice that you would have specifically for buyers right now?
I would say patience is a virtue. Don't overpay just because, don't fall in love with any of these properties and overpay. And I would say be conservative, like truly conservative. Don't just say, oh, I've underwritten this conservative, and it's really close to your best shot at it, like what you think is going to be the best and you knock off 5%. No, don't do that, because you put yourself in a bad position. And if something, like I said, comes along with the government and they make it to where you can't evict people, you've got to think, what are you going to do if your people all just decide, hey, you know what? Uncle Sam said, I don't have to pay and I'm not going to. What are you going to do at that point? So be realistic, be conservative, and be patient.
That's really great advice. Do you guys have a plan in place? I'm not sure what you guys have discussed, but you know, if we go through a shutdown again, this is pre-elections. This is being recorded before the elections. Yes. You know, I hear some chatter out there about, you know, maybe potentially more shutdowns and things like that, depending on which way all of the elections turn out. I mean, if they were to shut everyone down again, you're the first operator I've asked this to, you know, like, do you guys have a play as to what you would do with your residents? Is everybody stable enough, or how are you gauging that?
Most of our residents are fairly stable. So, you know, I think there are, in society, there are always people that are going to take advantage of a situation. And there are going to be some people that take advantage if they're told, hey, these people can't evict you for not paying your rent. There are going to be some people that just take that as, don't pay your rent.
Free rent, woo!
But I think the biggest thing that we are making sure of is, especially on the ones that we have control over, and when I say we have control over, any new people that are being brought in, we're being extra careful to make sure that these people are stable and not just getting people on the margins or people on the fringe that are maybe barely qualify or don't really qualify. So we're just being very careful about vetting people and making sure that the people that are not going to be the types that are going to say, I'm just not going to pay my rent. That's for us. The big thing is, because really at this point, that's about the only way you can protect yourself. That and be again, flexible with your residents as well. So you can, you know, try to work out payment plans or try to help them find relief in different from agencies and things such in that nature. That's the other thing that you can do is be preemptive on that kind of stuff. Don't wait until it's a problem. You know, put that out there beforehand.
Preventative measures are amazingly, they're just worth so much. All right, Matt. Well, shifting gears a little bit, I'm wondering, you have a broad background just as I do. And I find that my background has really been a tremendous skill set to draw upon. And I'm wondering about how you have reinvented yourself over, you know, the years and how that's helped with multifamily investing.
Right. Sure. So for me, you know, I started out doing, I worked for Carrier and actually did building automation programming. So I was in a lot of these big buildings for a while. And then I got into commercial real estate, as in offices. So I did property management and I worked in that for a while. And then I started acquiring real estate and then I just, commercial real estate rather. And then I just decided, you know what? I like this multifamily stuff. I started looking into it and, you know, I'm one of those people that I'm a firm believer. If you like something, you just kind of dig into it. I mean, and we have so many resources now, you know, you have YouTube and books and podcasts and everything else. If you are interested in something like this, I think you just basically have to time shift from what you're doing and set aside time to do this stuff. And so that's all of that stuff to say, all of that stuff kind of played into me kind of getting into this. You know, it was kind of one thing to the next thing to the next thing to where, you know, now I've gotten into this and I've just stayed with this because I love it.
It's really interesting, like even having a background in property management, does that make you scrutinize property managers a little more?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, definitely. I always look at it like I would do it this way. I think the thing with a property manager, I think what a lot of people don't realize is, you know, we're all told, oh, you know, when you start learning about this, people are told, oh, well, make sure the property manager's good. And you're kind of like, yeah. I'm sure they're all going to be good. And then you go get a property manager. And when they're not doing good, you start realizing really quick that, you know, they're not good with communication or this or that or the other. I'm the type that I want somebody to come to me with something. Don't bring me problems, bring me solutions. If something's going on, I want to get a property manager that can just handle stuff to where I take care of the high level stuff. I say yay or nay or whatever. And when you've done this before, done the property management side before, it does make you take a little bit harder look at that. And sometimes I have to step back and go, okay, am I being too harsh? Because I would have done it a different way. But it generally works out. I just try to communicate what my needs are and what I feel like I expect out of the property manager. And if they are professional at all, they'll understand that and they'll make adjustments accordingly.
Those adjustments are necessary for sure.
Oh, for sure.
But even just ironing out that relationship, sometimes different communication styles and everything. Well, as we're thinking about people who would like to make a shift in their life, I think that you and I can both relate that there are people out there and they feel stuck and they want to unstick themselves, right? Like they want to move on in life, but maybe fear is holding them back or they don't know. Like, what advice would you have for somebody that wants to make a transition? It might be to multifamily. It might be to something else. Mm-hmm. How do they do that?
Allow yourself, I don't want to say allow yourself to fail, but I mean, honestly, you have to be nice to yourself and allow yourself to make those mistakes, allow yourself to learn the time to learn, and don't expect to be an expert at something overnight. You know, when I was starting,
why
to
not?
Right? It should be easy, right? When I started learning about this stuff, I just dug into it. And I mean, I still don't feel like I know everything, obviously. I mean, you're always going to be learning. So I feel like you just have to force yourself to dig into something and just do it. Sometimes you have to jump. You can't just stay on the middle of the fence. You have to just go for it. I think that's the thing. And a lot of people are scared to fail. And I think that failure is not the problem. It's fearing failure and not allowing yourself to fail without feeling like a failure. So you're going to have some growing pains, but I think that's the biggest thing I can say. For me, that's always been huge, is just trying to push that fear aside.
That's powerful. I was listening to a podcast over the weekend and they were talking about failure, and it's a podcast. It's a very salty, I'll just say it's a very salty podcast. Somebody's is salty. I'm like, oh, I feel bad. I'd love to recommend it to everybody, but it probably wouldn't be suitable for everybody. But the message behind it was powerful. And speaking of failure, he was talking about, you know, like nobody stays a baby. It's not like you have this like little baby that's learning how to walk and they fall and then they don't get back up. Like,
right.
Yeah, that sucks. I'm not going to walk. Forget that. I'm just going to crawl the rest of my life. Like, and it really put this image in my mind, and you and I are both parents. Like, are you going to walk or run or crawl? Like, how are you going to live your life?
Right. I feel like even if you're crawling and you start out crawling, so long as you keep moving forward, you're eventually going to learn to walk, and then you're eventually going to learn to run. So,
preach it.
So you can't, you know, my wife and I had that same conversation every time we would look at those milestones and go, oh, what's our daughter doing? And then we're looking at the milestones and she would be way ahead on some things and there would be something that she's behind on. And my wife would say, look, you know, just remember, there's nobody that I know that doesn't have some sort of serious problem that is, you know, 20 years old and can't dress themselves. So if our kid is... take 6 more months to dress herself, then so be it. She's still learning. And it's same with us. We have to allow ourselves to do that learning and not be judgmental about our own rate and not judge ourselves against other people. I think that's a really crucial one. In this business, there's a big push with a lot of people to go, oh, I've got this many doors and I've got this many door. You know, this person has, says, I have this many doors, and it becomes almost like a competition. And I think if you do that, you're just setting yourself up to be upset. So you're not, you know, you're not going up against anyone but yourself.
That's right. Competition is the self every single time. Oh, that's rough. You are shifting gears once again. You are getting ready to launch an incredible podcast, and I'm so excited to welcome you to the podcast world. So can you tell us a little bit about your podcast?
Sure. So my podcast is going to be called Modern Multifamily with Matt, or as I like to say, because I plan to have a lot of tasty information in there. So it's going to take a similar format to this. I'm going to add a lot of healthy doses of humor in there. And then every other episode is going to be what I call Tech Tuesday. And since I'm a nerd a little bit, I'm going to be talking about all the drones, phones, gadgets, apps, anything technology related you could use for multifamily that would improve your life when it comes to multifamily and make your life easier or make your job better. So that's kind of be the format. And I have some really great people lined up. I'm pretty excited about it.
It's going to be so fun. I mean, you're just a fun person and you have a great way of communicating information. So I've no doubt it's going to be a like huge success. Are you going to be releasing weekly? Tech Tuesday is obviously weekly. Will you have weekly interviews as well?
Yes, that is the plan. Once I start getting a bunch of people interviewed, I'm going to start dropping them weekly.
Fantastic. So if you were listening to this right now, and this is the beginning of October. So if you're listening to this now and it's, you know, just make sure you keep coming back to this episode to check the show notes, and I'll have a link in there once Matt launches and goes live. So I just want, if you're, depending on when you hear this episode, make sure you look for that link and you click on it.
It might already be there depending on when you put it. Cause I'm going to be dropping some really soon.
Woo-woo. So excited. So Matt, we're wrapping things up. Do you have any other delicious gems that you would like to drop on people?
I don't know. I just say everybody needs to be safe out there. Be careful. Not just because of the COVID that's going on right now, but just be careful in this world that we're in right now, as far as the multifamily world. You know, be careful with who you trust, and, you know, trust but verify. You know, it's really extra important right now. Make sure that the numbers that you're giving are really the numbers, and make sure that stuff is truly conservative, whether it's your numbers or whether it's somebody else's numbers. Don't be afraid to invest, but also don't invest foolishly because you're in a hurry to get a higher door count than someone else.
Oh, wow. That is like amazing advice for everybody. Wow. Love it.
Thank
Matt,
you.
Thank you so much for coming on Ask Me How I Know. How can everybody reach you?
Yeah. So, the best way to reach me would be either, look for me on Facebook. It's under Matthew Rose. And if you are watching this and not listening to it, it's the guy that looks a lot like this, kind of a better looking version of me. That's what the picture is. If you are not on there, my email is matt@upsideequitypartners.com. And that's probably the two easiest ways to reach me. I'm on social media, in several places, but I think Facebook is a good one to try to find me. And I'm pretty responsive. If somebody wants to send me a DM or something, I'm very happy to help people out, chat with people, whatever. So.
And if you need a good dose of laughter, Matt will definitely have you laughing as well.
I will try. I will do my best.
Oh, well, thanks again, Matt. I wish you all the best with your podcast and all of your investing.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining me for another episode of Ask Me How I Know. This episode was brought to you by Three Keys Investments. They are dedicated to helping people like you. Yeah, you, my awesome listeners, develop passive income and legacy wealth through multifamily investing. Feel free to check out their website, threekeysinvestments.com, to see if there is an offering that will help your portfolio grow and meet all of your needs. If you haven't already rated, reviewed, subscribed, liked, all of those bells and whistles, I would be absolutely honored if you would do that for Ask Me How I Know. Thanks again, and go make it a great day.